Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Our text for today is the Gospel, which is a portion of the Gospel lesson again. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is our text for this morning. Mir K is an internet and YouTube personality. He has spread wide world population, 350 followers on YouTube, because he tries to proclaim a message of positivity. One of his most popular YouTube posts was him in New York giving high fives to people who had their hands out to get a taxi. You could imagine how disturbing that might be. Now, some of his posts are funny, some of them are serious, and some of them are inspiring. In 2017, at the Super Bowl, he had an idea for a post, and it was based on interacting with someone in New York. He ran across a homeless man who had a very unique sign out. He wasn't asking for food. He wasn't asking for money. He wasn't asking for water. He just wanted to not be invisible. He asked for somebody just to have a conversation with him. Now, that gave Kay an interesting idea. He thought to himself, why don't I do this? I will go down to the local athletic store. I will buy jerseys for the New England Patriots for the Super Bowl. He ordered food, especially chicken wings, and he invited five of his neighbors, five homeless people, to a party with him at the rooftop bar on Fifth Avenue. He did that in 2018 and also in 2019. He was so moved by this that he invited more people to come. And so now he has over 50 homeless people coming to a Super Bowl party that he calls Super Soul Party. He invites some local shelters and homeless people, and they gather at Chelsea's and they watch the Super Bowl and have this amazing party and interaction. He invites other friends to come alongside with him as well. And they together reach out to these homeless people. They have conversation, they have meals, they break bread. And he adds value to people who are normally ignored by society. Kay's actions have really shown people and gave an opportunity to show extravagant hospitality to the world and really give an example of what it means to love your neighbor. In our text for today, Jesus shows us the importance of meals. If you look at the book of Luke, there are a lot of times when Jesus gathers around a dinner table and he's having meals. The problem that the Pharisees had and many others was that the people he invited to the meals were not the class of society. They were like Kay's subjects, people who were normally excluded, outcast, those who were disenfranchised by society. But Jesus at this meal particularly was taking point in case and was heartbroken by the fact that on this Sabbath meal, the way people were acting really grieved his heart and his spirit. So here are three lessons from our text today that Jesus teaches us. One is, be careful not to ignore the needy. In verses 1 through 6, Jesus goes this way. He says, "And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?' But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, 'Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath, will not immediately pull him out?' And they could not reply." So this man appears before Jesus at the Sabbath day meal with dropsy. It's a disease, by the way, you may not know what it is, that involves an excessive accumulation of fluids in the body cavity and also sometimes in the tissue, and so it becomes a very painful swelling issue. So this man was there, and I think it was kind of a bait to Jesus. They were trying to trap him to see if he would have compassion on this man with this disease. Think about that. What an awful way to treat someone dealing with an issue like that. To invite them to a party that you didn't want them at, just to see if somehow you could trap your guest and doing something you thought was inappropriate on the Sabbath. They really missed the real issue and the real point of the Sabbath. The Sabbath, as Jesus points out, he did so many miracles on the Sabbath, is really about a day of mercy. And he points out their hypocrisy. So if you're telling me that if your child falls into a well and you're trying to honor the Sabbath, you won't rescue your child or even your oxen if they fell into a well. You would wait until the Sabbath day was over to show mercy. He reminds them that the Sabbath was set aside particularly for mercy. That day was set aside for us to rest, to refresh ourselves, but if someone was in need, our Christian responsibility was to show mercy. It reminds me of the words from Hosea 6, verse 6. For I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. What a pity that so many people today would choose animals over humanity. I've seen all kinds of cases where people say, we can't build here because there's a frog, a special frog, that if we built something here, would be disenfranchised. But there are people in need, and we ignore that. I got a chance recently to visit Southern California, and I had heard about the homeless problem in Southern California, but I never saw it. It never really was part of my life because I'm not from the area, but I was just touched and grieved by the fact that there are so many homeless people wandering the streets of Southern California. And they're in some of the most beautiful, pristine parts of Southern California. They're on Huntington Beach. They're in Newport Beach. There are homeless people all over the place. And people in California have learned to kind of disassociate themselves with the whole situation. They just kind of walk over those homeless people. It's like it's not even a part of the culture anymore. And I just kind of wondered, what would Jesus do if he walked into Southern California and he saw so many people living on the streets and so many people just ignoring the problem? Would he just kind of pass by and go, well, it's the Sabbath and it's really not my issue? Or would he be moved by mercy to reach out to help them? The second lesson that our Lord gives us this day is about seeking honor. And so in verse 7 through 11, he says this. When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited. And you invite any of you both will come and say, give your place to this person, and you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place. Your host may come and say to you, friend, move up higher. To understand this part of the text, you have to understand the culture of the Middle East. They live in an honor and shame society. The worst thing that can happen to you in that society is to have someone bring shame on you. And so when Jesus gives this example, he says, the worst thing you want to happen to you is that you be shamed by being too prideful. So the best way to avoid bringing shame on yourself and your entire family is never assume a place of honor. Let your host give you honor. But he goes on even deeper because, you see, the way the feasts were set up, and we have to imagine this, is that the center table was a place of honor. The person with the most prestige and the most important person would sit at the center table, and their head would recline on a couch toward the middle of the table. And all the other guests would kind of center around this person at the center of the table, and they would be honored by the fact that they'd get the chance to sit close to the person of honor. Now, what was happening is people would show up, and they would just assume that they were the most important guest, and they would sit at the center table. Of course, until someone of more importance shows up, and then you have to get up your seat, and you have to take whatever seat's left. And that was an issue in their life, in their culture, that really brought dishonor to that person. I mean, imagine, you're at a table, you're about to eat, and the host says, I'm sorry, this isn't reserved for you. You have to get up because this person here is way more important than you are. Imagine what you'd feel like to be at the table and go, oh, I'm sorry, and you've already drank the water. That'd be me. I would have drank the water, got to pick up my glass, and got to go move it somewhere else. So Jesus says we need to keep in mind that what's important for us is the first lesson, and that is to learn what it means to be humble. And if you're humble, you avoid embarrassment. You avoid being dishonored. But he says more than that, there is a divine principle here. And he says in verse 11, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Whenever I puff myself up with pride, we know the rest of the saying, pride always goeth before a fall. So he says, be careful in life that you don't put yourself up on this pride pedestal, because you will get knocked down. But deeper than that, the question for us to remember is that God doesn't view us by our status in life, by our achievements in life, by what the world would say, this is what makes you important and special. But God sees through all of that, and God sees the heart. What makes you unique and special and honored is not because of the places you've achieved in life, but because who's redeemed you. That you've been bought by Christ, the crucified, his blood been shed for you, and you are a child of God because of what Christ has done for you. You need to find value not in your position, your power, your prestige, your money, but in the fact that you are a redeemed child of God. And the great thing about that is that it's something that you had nothing to do with. You didn't decide one day, wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to be a child of God. Today I'm going to decide that I'm going to leave behind my sinful life, and I'm going to decide today that I'm going to save myself and I'm going to become a Christian. That's a miraculous movement and work of the Holy Spirit. Faith is a gift from God so that none of us have the ability to boast that we had anything to do with our salvation. And so we find value and honor in the fact that we have been redeemed by Christ. And he also says, the third lesson for this text is, don't do things so that you can be repaid. The culture of that day was, I will invite important guests to my party, knowing that these guests can one day invite me to their party. And that's how I rise up in society. The more people I get invited to, the more special parties, the more connections I can make, the higher I can grow in the community. But Jesus says, do something unique. Do something that is countercultural. Do something that is outside of honor and shame society. Invite people to a feast who cannot pay you back. Now, you got to understand what they heard. What the people heard was, don't go seeking honor by the people you associate with. Go invite people who are excluded, who are disenfranchised. Invite the cripple, the homeless, those in need, those who can never possibly pay you back. But now in doing so, you will not receive honor in the community. You will not rise to levels of greatness in your community. As a matter of fact, you will probably bring, in the community's eyes, you will probably bring shame on yourself because of the people you're associating with. But he says, forget all of the things of what society tells you. Do what's right. Do what the love of God compels you to do. See people as God sees them. Give honor and value to people that God gives honor and value to, not people that society gives honor and value to. He says, I want you to live in a countercultural revolution. I want you to be different. I want you to be peculiar as a people of God. Love the stranger. Welcome those who are disenfranchised. Feed the homeless. Care for the sick and the dying. Do things that people in society would not give value to because God gives value to it. Now imagine what the people heard. So Lord, you want me to bring dishonor and shame on myself because that's what God expects of me, God desires of me. And Jesus says yes. Because your reward for doing that will not be seen here on earth. It'll be seen in heaven. And in the end, who do you want to really please? Do you want to please man? Or do you want to be a friend of God? And so the challenge for us as Christians is, how do we live a life and welcome people the way Jesus does? And we do that not in our own strength, but motivated by the love of Christ that dwells in us. One of my favorite verses is, why do I do what I do when people ask? And my response is, the love of Christ compels me. I don't do it for honor. I don't do it because I'm better than anybody else. I do it because the love of Christ that dwells in me moves me to have compassion for people that I don't normally would have compassion for. Because you've been redeemed by Christ the crucified, that same love of Christ compels you, gives you the strength to be kind when others aren't, to love people that others don't love, to see beyond the surface of what's broken in people's life and see a jewel, one created by God with a special divine purpose. All of us are unique. All of us are special. All of us have been created by God with a purpose. May we live out the high calling of our office as disciples, redeemed by Christ crucified, called to share Christ with a lost and dying world. May God bless you, St. Mark's, in your ministry, in your mission, because today God sends out from this place disciples to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in the world. I pray that your impact in the world be phenomenal, that people see through you the love of Christ, that they ask you the question, why do you do what you do? And you can tell them, the love of Christ compels me. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.